is Jordan Secchio with breaking news. Top Department of Justice officials and FBI officials were briefed on the Trump dossier months before the election, cutting down a major Democrat narrative from folks like Adam Schiff. And they knew that the dossier, months before the election, came directly from the Clinton campaign.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The testimony from Justice Department official Bruce Orr matters because it moves up the timeline to the summer of 2016, 3 months before the FBI and Justice Department got a surveillance warrant for a Trump campaign aide.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The testimony shows that Orr shared information about the dossier and its author, Christopher Steele, with senior officials, including two prosecutors who are now assigned to the special counsel.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. In the third segment, we're going to have John Solomon from The Hill, who just broke more news on this. And we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Here's why it's very important. You go back to Democrat talking points. In a memo from Congressman Adam Schiff, now the head of the House Intelligence Committee, now the chair of that, claimed that Bruce Orr's contact with the FBI only began weeks after the election. So he didn't tell them at all about the dossier or Christopher Steele until after the election and more than a month after a court approved the initial FISA application on Carter Page. But Bruce Orr testified the opposite. In fact, Bruce Orr briefed both senior FBI and DOJ officials in the summer of 2016, before the general election, before President Trump was elected in November. And he explicitly cautioned those officials that the British intelligence operatives' work was opposition research connected to Hillary Clinton's campaign and might be biased. Who did he brief in July and August? Well, it included the deputy director of the FBI, that's Andy McCabe, a top lawyer for then-Attorney General Loretta Lynch, and a justice official who would later become the top deputy to special counsel Robert Mueller. In fact, two of the DOJ officials briefed on the dossier back in July and August of 2016 ended up on the Mueller team. But it goes against this entire narrative, again, that, oh, this was all after FISA warrants. It was after the election. No, no. This was before the election. They were already getting out the dossier info throughout the top levels of the Department of Justice and the FBI. And two of those top officials today serve on Bob Mueller's team. I want to get your reaction, Andy, to that. We know one is Andrew Weissman.
Well, yes, that's a scary thing. Weissman is a notorious prosecutor who has been the pit bull of the Mueller team and prides himself on being someone who can take people down, although all his convictions seem to be reversed on appeal for prosecutorial misconduct. But he knew about this, according to Orr. The Loretta Lynch's chief counsel or chief counselor or deputy knew about this. So we're now, it's now through Orr. Through Orr is coming out that so many people knew about this fictitious, salacious, lying piece of trash that was put together by Christopher Steele, who, in an attempt to discredit the president, before he was even elected president, in a series of attempts to show bias against the Trump campaign, and the government agents who are in high positions on the Mueller team were fully aware of it.
But take a listen. This is Catherine Harris. Bruce Orr even said that his wife, he told them, was working for, by the way, he also told everybody at the Department of Justice and FBI that his wife was working for Fusion GPS, at least on a contract basis, but that he could not vouch for any of the credibility of the dossier because Christopher Steele was, quote, desperate to stop Trump from getting elected. Take a listen, Catherine Herridge.
According to the transcript, Orr was clear that he could not vouch for the credibility of the anti-Trump dossier, and he made clear that its author, Christopher Steele, was, quote, desperate to stop Trump from getting elected, and that the dossier was funded by the Clinton campaign.
Again, folks, this is breaking news that occurred last night. We're going to have the author of this piece, John Solomon from The Hill, joining us in a couple of segments. So you want to be on listening for that. But we are going to be taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110 is each day. More and more information. I'm holding up in my hands for our Facebook and Periscope audience, new ACLJ memo, which is being under work right now. Comey's FBI, Comey's Circle of Corruption, now resigned, fired, and or under criminal investigation, played significant roles in the biggest political scandal of recent times. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
So top Department of Justice officials, two of which are now on Bob Mueller's team. The president has talked about that team, you know, being made up. And even the Attorney General nominee, Bill Barr, too many that... One of the issues was not so much with Bob Mueller, but the team that he chose was so partisan in their backgrounds. When two of those top members of the team were two top Justice Department officials who also got briefed on this dossier by Bruce Ohr, the Trump dossier, the now infamous dossier, months before the general election. So in the summer of 2016, this cuts down the Democrat narrative from people like Adam Schiff, who said, no, it was much later. It was after the election and after any kind of FISA approval on at least Carter Page, but that is now debunked. So who was briefed? So Orr divulged his first contact with the FBI on July 31st, 2016, so a few months before the general election. He reached out to Deputy Director, surprise, surprise, Andrew McCabe, an FBI attorney. Guess who? Which FBI attorney would it be? Lisa Page. He then was referred to the agents working Russian counterintelligence. Who do you think that is? Peter Strzok, the now fired agent who played a central role in starting the Trump collusion probe. But Orr's contacts about Steele's dossier weren't limited to just the FBI. So he didn't just go from DOJ to FBI. In August of 2016, 2 months before there were any FISA warrant was issued on Carter Page, he conducted a briefing for senior Department of Justice officials. Who was there? He briefed Andrew Weissman, then the head of DOJ's fraud section, Bruce Swartz, longtime head of DOJ's international operations, and Zainab Ahmed, who is an accomplished terrorism prosecutor, who at that time was Loretta Lynch, the attorney general's senior attorney, so senior like counselor to the attorney general. And guess what? That senior attorney to Loretta Lynch and that head of DOJ's fraud provision, Ahmed and Weissman, are now on the Mueller team. So they were briefed months before the election on this dossier and were told by Bruce Ohr that it was he could not really decide whether it was credible, that Christopher Steele had it out for Donald Trump. Bruce Ohr said this in his testimony. He warned them in a series of contacts that Steele was expressed biased against Trump, was working for Hillary Clinton. He thought Christopher Steele was desperate that Trump not be elected, and he told this to the FBI, and they still use this document, Andy, to get FISA warrants on American citizens.
That's the part that really bothers me. The part that really bothers me is who was involved in obtaining FISA warrants from the FISA courts was aware of the Steele dossier. And I want to know particularly, and I keep coming back to this, how far up the chain did that go? It is impossible for me to believe that somebody like Sally Yates, who was the Deputy Attorney General, did not know about the contents of the Steele dossier and make representations to the FISA judge who issued the warrants with respect to the incredible and salacious nature and the unreliable and unverifiable information that was contained in this warrant. And I think somebody should ask her, because she seems to have gotten away with a lot here. She sort of blended back into the politics in Georgia. But what did Sally Yates, the Deputy Attorney General, know, who had to vouch for this, who was in charge at that time, of would have been in charge of this, what did she know about the Steele dossier in making an application to a U.S. district judge on the FISA court?
And Stan, as you have pointed out, James Baker, who was the general counsel at the FBI, so the top attorney for the FBI, he's now no longer with the FBI, and he's under criminal investigation now for leaking. We found that out, and his attorney cut off questioning and said he's under a criminal probe right now by a U.S. attorney for leaking information. He was all very involved in the FISA process, so was Peter Strzok.
Yeah, James Baker was a central pillar in the FISA application approval process. So he certainly would have known when this information that couldn't be verified was used to surveil an American citizen, Jordan. And, you know, I would answer Andy's question. You know, I can't give you a page number, and we can't demonstrate the evidence and prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. But I would tell you that everyone inside the Bureau at that level knew about this. And I think the revelation today from John Solomon is just proving that further. They were trying to have their cake and eat it too, Jordan. And I would say, you know, Bruce Orr certainly still should not have done this. He still should not have continued contact with someone who had been terminated for leaking. But Jordan, if someone that senior was warning people above him that a contact was not reliable and they had a political bias, then someone like Sally Yates, I mean, there's only a couple of rungs above Bruce Orr. Sally Yates and people similarly situated to her, Jordan, they all knew about it.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, I think it blows the lid off everything. It's a good question coming in and a good comment coming in from Dave in New Hampshire. I'm going to pose this before I go to Dave to anybody. So how do you restore confidence in this FBI? What would it take for you to be confident again in the Federal Bureau of Investigations? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Dave has some ideas in New Hampshire. Dave, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for your show, for your efforts over all the years, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you, Dave.
And it really is, we have a national emergency that we do not have confidence in our chief law enforcement agencies or our government at this point, because there are people that have clearly broken the law that should be on the perp walk, as they call it, and that's when people will stand up and applaud. Because we need to have our laws enforced, especially among the law enforcement community.
I think, Dave, listen, we know that there are active criminal investigations now ongoing of these former officials. As we wrote in our new memo we're putting together right now, I've got it in my hands for our Facebook and Periscope audience. It's a draft memo, an executive summary of that memo starts like this. It addresses the main players in Comey's circle of corruption in FBI leadership and senior positions by summarizing, so who they are, their bad acts. We're putting this together for all of you because there's so much each day out there. Where are the terminations? Where are the resignations? The ongoing criminal investigations? The key ACLJ FOIA cases that obtained these FBI and Department of Justice records, along with, again, understanding what is going on. So who does it include? Well, we know it includes James Comey, James Baker, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, and Lisa Page, James Rybicki. Those are all, again, FBI officials. And what we also know is we can include now, you've got a lot of DOJ officials, including two. How much does it concern you that two of these are on the Mueller team?
Well, it's terrifying to me. It's horrifying to me that Ahmad and Weissman are on the Mueller team. And they knew, according to Bruce Orr, as early as July 2016, that the Steele dossier was unverifiable, salacious, unreliable, funded by the partisan group. I mean, and they are on the Mueller team,
yeah,
supposedly making a neutral, we think and hope, detached investigation of collusion, if there was any, which I don't think there was, between the campaign and between the president and Russia. These people are now integral components of the Mueller investigative team. That is horrifying to me, Jordan.
That's horrifying. I think what is worst about this is that all of these officials, including those two who now are with Bob Mueller, they all knew from Bruce Ohr not to trust this information, that Christopher Steele was a partisan, that he, again, was biased against Trump, and it was from the Clinton campaign specifically, desperate that Trump not be elected. And yet through their workings at the FBI and DOJ, including officials who are now with Bob Mueller, understand that, they approved five FISA warrants on American citizens using this dossier, which they knew was a load of junk. And you've got these officials still very involved in these investigations. 1-800-684-3110. Than, will this in Washington, D.C., Than, will and there's so much going on. So for it to break through, it breaks through in small segments on places like Fox News and Catherine Herridge's update. But are members of Congress and like Senate Intel Committee following this? That I mean, they were the ones getting this testimony that Bruce Ohr has blown the lid off the entire Democrat narrative.
Yeah, Jordan, just to be very candid with you, I don't think the Senate Intelligence Committee has been very good on this, and I think it's going to be incumbent on us to make sure that they take notice. I can assure you that the Democrat-led House of Representatives is not going to do diligence on getting to the bottom of this, but just to sort of complete that thought here, I mean, we've said many times, rooting out the bad actors has started to happen, and that's a good thing, but Jordan and Jay, I mean, when you still potentially have two officials that might have been brought up in this, that were on the front end of it, and now they're on the back end of it on the special counsel's team, I don't think the work is complete here. I'm glad the investigations are happening. I'm glad people are being held to account, but I don't believe we're finished yet. I believe there's more people to be held to account.
Well, this is why I keep saying that the irregularities here are kind of becoming legendary. I heard what Andy said, becoming legendary. I mean, it's like every day that goes by, it's something else. That's interesting that Bruce Ohr is kind of the person that's getting all of this out there. And he is the only one of the group that actually still works for the Department of Justice, Andy.
Yes, he is. And I was somewhat stunned that he continues to be there. But now, in a sense, I'm pleased to hear that he's opening up. Now, his motives for opening him up may be to protect himself and to out, what he did in making this information known so that they can't say that he was hiding the information. But it still horrifies me that he is still involved in working in the Justice Department in a senior and key position.
All right, folks, when we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. The author of this breaking news piece in The Hill, John Solomon, joins us in the next segment of the broadcast. You don't want to miss this. He has broken down all this information. 1-800-684-3110. We take your calls, your comments, on Facebook and Periscope. Share this with your friends and family before John Solomon joins us.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kolob is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kolob and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Our good friend John Solomon from The Hill has a piece out called FISA Shocker, DOJ official warned Steele dossier was connected to Clinton, might be biased. And this breaking news coming out of our friend John Solomon, who's joining us on air. John, it's a great report as always. Let me ask you this. I still wonder why Bruce Ohr is still there. I suspect maybe he's cooperating with the investigative authorities at this point. What is the biggest takeaway from your piece? What is it that the American people need to know what happened here?
Well, we've been in the dark for 2 years. The Republicans, when they had control of the House, couldn't get this answer. And the answer is, when did the FBI first learn that the dossier was related to Hillary Clinton and the DNC and was being paid for it and might be fruit of a poisoned political tree? And the FBI and the Justice Department have been able to hopscotch and not answer that question. And Bruce Ohr gave us that answer in his sworn testimony yesterday. And here's a funny thing. That sworn testimony was given in August, and the Republicans never released it. So we're now learning that Bruce Ohr explicitly went in and told Andy McCabe, the deputy director of the FBI, Pete Stroke, the lead of the Russia investigation, a lawyer who was the top lawyer to Attorney General Loretta Lynch, as well as two people who later went to work for Robert Mueller at the Justice Department. He briefed them all on the Steele dossier, and he specifically told them, hey, this is connected to Hillary Clinton's campaign. You need to be careful. Be aware of that. I can tell you that Christopher Steele has clear biases. He has told me he will stop at nothing to destroy Donald Trump and stop him from being president. And I have some questions about the reliability of his intelligence. This is raw source material, not confirmed. You should be careful with this material. That's a very, very important warning, because the Justice Department has that knowledge, and when it goes and files for that FISA using the Steele dossier, it had a legal obligation to tell the judges, hey, we've got this information, but it's not quite corroborated. It comes from Hillary Clinton's campaign, and it comes from a fella who, by his own admission, wants to defeat Trump. That's known as derogatory information, information you're supposed to put in there. Instead, the FBI says, we have no derogatory information on Steele. We think he's reliable. We don't really know where this, who his client is. We suspect they may not be happy with Donald Trump, but that's not really a true rendering of what they knew. They were not honest with the court, and that could become a violation of the FISA rules.
You know, John, this is Jordan Secula. I wanted to ask you about the FISA issue specifically, because that is what is so troubling to all of us here, is that so many people, so well in advance of those FISA applications even being made, were briefed, not just at the FBI, so not just the Peter Strzok and Lisa Pages, but you have Andrew Weissman, you've got, again, that top attorney, the counsel to the senior counsel to Loretta Lynch, who then also joins the Mueller team. So two people who joined the Mueller team ultimately. But they're all getting this information, and yet as the FISA application's moving through, none of them step in and say, hey, this is wrong. Hey, we are putting in information before this court to spy on an American, to get a warrant to spy on an American, we know at least in Carter Page's situation, and we're not divulging all the information. And none of them stepped up. And two of them are on Bob Mueller's team, John.
Yeah, it's very concerning, because the FISA court is one of the few courts in America that's an ex parte court, which means you, if you're an accused person, have no representation. And so it relies on a trust system that you're going to disclose both the inculpatory and exculpatory information against a person, the stuff that makes you think they're guilty and should be under investigation, but also the things that weigh against that. It is pretty clear from what we've now learned about this FISA that was not done here. And that's exactly why this concerns people. This should concern everybody from the ACLU on the left to conservative Republicans who are constitutionalists. And we have not had the sort of oversight. If there's going to be a great outcome to this, Jordan, I think you really need someone like Lindsey Graham or the Inspector General or the new Attorney General, Bill Barr, to come in and say, I'm looking at this and I'm not going to let this happen again. And we're going to out all of our mistakes on this and admit to them publicly so that we're not tempted to do it again in the future. That's what we did after 9/11. And it had a good consequence on the FBI. We became a better FBI, a better national security apparatus because of it. But right now we're sweeping all this dirty laundry under the rugs, and it takes, you know, things like these leaks and things that I've been doing and other people have been doing to get even a partial look at the truth. And the truth is not very pretty.
You know, John, one of the things that I find fascinating, and this is a lawyer that's been practicing law for 40 years and tried a lot of cases and argued a lot of appeals, you have this correspondence, this text messaging between Christopher Steele and Bruce Orr, which if you look at that in itself and you put his testimony aside, it looks like Bruce Orr is aggressively working on getting Steele this rehired job with the Department of with the FBI, even though he'd been fired already once for lying. And then he's got all these text messages saying, hey, I'm trying to, you know, please help me. And then Bruce Orr says, yes, I'll reach out again to the special counsel's office, all of this going on. And then he goes in and testifies and says, oh, I said this was biased and may not be trustworthy. So which is it from Bruce Orr?
Well, listen, it could be both, right? One of the bureaucratic, a lot of people don't fully appreciate the bureaucratic mindset, which is when someone like Bruce has been in the Justice Department for a very long time, they get ingrained in this culture, right? And they always want to be helpful. They always want to prove their worth. It is not implausible, and I think it's highly likely he did both things, which is he knew the FBI needed Steele after they fired him because they couldn't figure out what was corroborated, and they had been hung over their skis because they used it in a FISA warrant before it was corroborated. So he's trying to help those guys get there. But at the beginning, he's also being that cautious person saying, listen, I got my wife involved in this. I know all about it. This is interesting. I hope you pursue it. But also, I want to let you know about the potential landmines. And I think both things are highly likely to have occurred because you can see in the text messages early on, there was some reluctance by the FBI on Steele. They didn't want to jump on him right away. He comes in July 5th, and it takes him to September before they really jump on Steele. Yep. That tells you they had some pause about the guy, probably because Bruce Orr gave him that pause.
And there's no indication that the special counsel hired Christopher Steele back, is there?
No, there's not. There are clear indications. The FBI asked Bruce Orr to tell Christopher Steele, contact us the next time you're in town. We need your help again after he was fired. That is irrefutable. But there's no evidence that Mueller ever bit on that.
Right, let me ask Andy Economo a question here quickly. So Bruce Orr goes in and evidently, you know, tells the truth. This is what I said. Who then is responsible for signing off on these FISA warrants? And were those individuals informed of the truth?
Well, that's what I want to know. Ultimately, the deputy attorney general would have been the person responsible. Sally Yates would have been the person responsible for signing off on the FISA warrants. So she would have been briefed by Bruce Orr, by other senior members of DOJ.
Yeah. So, John, do we know that?
Well, Bruce Orr testifies, as extraordinary as this was, and he's having all of these high-level contacts at the Justice Department and the FBI about this, and he's the number four official in the Justice Department. He never told either one of his bosses, Yates or Rod Rosenstein, about what he was doing. That's unbelievable. It's almost unthinkable that this could be going on.
No, incredible.
And the people above him doesn't know.
Yeah, incredible. Hey, everybody, go to The Hill and look for John Solomon's piece. It's a tremendous tremendous article, and John does great investigative work. John, as always, thanks for being on the broadcast.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. We'll be back with more in a few minutes.
Yeah, folks. Again, we are going to be – we'll take your phone calls, too, second half hour. I know people have been holding on. It's great to have John on to explain the piece. He writes great pieces, puts all the information together for you. That's at The Hill, thehill.com. You can find the piece by John Solomon. Check that out. We come back. We start taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, the second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live. So give us a call. Couple lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. Go to aclj.org as well. We can't get to all the information. We're working on the ACLJ on the broadcast. You got to check out our website as well to see that, aclj.org. We'll be right back for the second half hour of Jay Sekulow Live.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds
to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, "Allah will kill the Jews." Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The testimony from Justice Department official Bruce Orr matters because it moves up the timeline to the summer of 2016, and the testimony shows that Orr shared information about the dossier and its author, Christopher Steele, with senior officials, including two prosecutors who are now assigned to the special counsel.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Boy, the hits keep on coming. I'll tell you, it's every day a new revelation. The latest is a bombshell report from our friend John Solomon, who was just on the last segment of our broadcast, talking about his headline is, FISA shocker, DOJ official warned Steele dossier was connected to Clinton might be biased. And here's the interesting thing about this. So supposedly Bruce Orr told FBI officials, DOJ officials, including two lawyers that are now with the special counsel's office, that this dossier, which was based on how they got the FISA warrants, was politically biased because it came from the Clinton campaign, or that's who funded it anyways. And he also says he told them that his wife was working for Fusion GPS. Yet they fired Christopher Steele because he leaked information to the media inappropriately, but then as soon as James Comey's fired, they try to rehire him. That one still to me, Andy, you're smiling, but that one still to me kind of sums up the whole case.
No, I mean, I'm smiling because it's so incredible that the government is doing something like this. You know, you've got a guy, Steele, who is determined to see that Donald Trump is not elected president of the United States. He's got this dossier, this piece of trash that he puts out, funded by the Democrats, funded by the Hillary Clinton campaign. And you're talking about putting him and the people that he has briefed on Mueller's team who have that information, Weissman and Ahmad. What kind of a neutral and detached team can that possibly be, Jay? I'd like to know.
What's called, it's not. Now, the question is, in Washington, D.C., is this going to play with the Senate oversight? Fan?
Well, it's going to have to, Jay. That's the only way that we're going to restore confidence. Because, look, I mean, I think it's pretty clear. What a great piece from John. Kind of putting together some of the pieces that we've uncovered in FOIA, looking at the IG report. Jay, it's pretty clear that a sacred trust with the FBI and the DOJ has been broken. And in my view, the only way you can restore that sacred trust, and by the way, that sacred trust is needed if those law enforcement agencies are going to be effective. The only way you can restore it, Jordan, is to replace the people that are in charge of it. Now, I do think half of that equation is already in play, but I would say to Senator Graham of the Senate Judiciary Committee, I would say to probably the next Attorney General, Bill Barr, assuming he's confirmed by the United States Senate, that these are two things that they need to be really, really focused on, because when you look back, everyone inside this bureau, Jordan, knew that they were using faulty information from a contact that could not be trusted, and yet they decided to do it anyway, and they didn't just do it on some willy-nilly case. Jordan, they used it to surveil an American citizen. That is a sacred trust that has been fatally broken, and it must be restored by replacing the people who are in charge.
All right, folks, so we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. Let's grab another call. Lisa in Texas on line one. Lisa, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, I appreciate everything Dr. Ross said, and he said it right on. Let me try to get myself off the speaker just a second.
All right, Lisa, let me come back to you because we're going to hit a break. So we make sure your phone connection is right. So, again, if you want to talk to us on the air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And we don't have time for another call in this segment, but we got two more segments coming up, taking your phone calls because we didn't get to a lot of calls in the first half hour of the broadcast. I want to take more of your phone calls in this second half hour. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Are people taking it seriously enough? You know, it's hard to break through a news cycle right now. You've got things happening overseas. You've got the shutdown continuing, this whole issue over when will the State of the Union be and where will it be held. But this is very important. And we've got our memo that we're working on at the ACLJ. We don't just talk about things, about all that we've done to uncover this as well, through the ACLJ's FOIAs of the FBI and DOJ. And again, to show and expose Comey's circle of corruption, that resigned, fired, and our criminal investigation, the officials that played significant roles in the biggest scandals of recent time. But it is important to note, many of them are under criminal investigation now. And so don't take that lightly. I know a lot of people ask, they want to see people held responsible. They already got fired, and now they're under criminal investigation. I mean, that's pretty serious at this time. And they should be, by the way, when it's based on all this information. We'll be back on Jay Sekulow Live.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right, so we've laid all the information out for you. We've had the author of the piece on for you, the piece in the Hill, the FISA shocker, the DOJ officials warned that the Steele dossier was connected to Clinton, that it was biased months before the general election, months before FISA applications were put forward. Two of those officials now are on Bob Mueller's team, by the way. It involves, again, the top level officials of the FBI, some like Andrew McCabe, like Peter Strzok, like Lisa Page, like Andrew Weissman, who's now with Mueller. None of them stood in the way of the FISA application being filed to spy on an American. Based on this dossier, which, by the way, cuts against, I'd love to see Adam Schiff responding to this now with this Bruce Orr testimony, because Adam Schiff, who's now the head of the House Intelligence Committee, said, no one knew about this dossier. It was briefed on this until after the FISA warrant was filed and after the election. And now we know months before the FISA warrant was filed, because the briefings happened months before on the dossier, months before the election itself. So we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Sheldon in New Jersey, on line one. Sheldon, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing? I was just wondering if there's a way to revoke this FISA warrant that they got through, by lying about it, and if there's anything we can do to these people that that allowed this warrant to go through. And if that's the case, wouldn't all the evidence that Mueller got through this warrant be not allowed in court of any kind and be illegal?
Yeah, the answer to the question is that the FISA court can't revoke the warrant that it issued. The damage has been done. The surveillance has occurred. The American citizen has been spied upon by his own government. So that has happened. But the information that has been obtained from that, if it is the fruit of the poisonous tree, that's the legal way that we say it, then that information might be excluded and cannot be used by Mueller or by anybody in any proceeding. But the thing that bothers me is, what does the court do? The court can hold somebody in contempt, lock them up, punish them, fine them for bringing information that is not full, complete, and total to the attention of the court when applying for the warrant. So that's the consequences of lying to a FISA court judge.
Let's keep going through the phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. I know people have been holding on. Carol in Michigan, thanks for holding on. You are now on the air.
Hi. I'm calling in response to your question on what could be done to restore confidence in the the FBI.
Yep.
And I just wanted to say that my confidence in the entire federal government has been ruined. It seems to me that everything's in chaos.
Yeah.
And I think what's happening in the DOJ and the FBI is just indicative of what's going on everywhere. And, you know, one day you'll hear a story with the FBI, the next day you'll hear a story about something else. It's just too much.
Yeah.
And it's destroying the confidence of the citizens of this country.
Well, there's a few agencies that we have to just outright trust, right? You got to trust that the top law enforcement agency is not going to come after you for partisan reasons. You have to trust that the IRS is not going to come after you because of your political or your religious beliefs. These are, you know, these are these powerful institutions that affect us as individuals because they have the power to tax and the power to imprison us. You know, so to take our resources, take our earnings, and the power to imprison us. And if you start losing faith in those enforcement departments of government, imagine all the other departments of government, like you said, Carol, where, again, we may not feel the day-to-day impact as much, or need to maybe have this healthy fear of, or just healthy trust in, reliance on, that they will not come after you because of your political views or your religious beliefs or who you're associated with politically. That it's for real crimes or for real tax issues. And I threw those because I see those are the agencies that have the most daily impact on a potential impact on our lives that you really have to be able to trust. And then, of course, in the FISA situation, it goes outside of just the departments of government, but it involves our court system as well, because those judges are taken from the circuit courts, and so they're taken from the federal judiciary, and they're getting this information. And you would think at this point, if that judge who allowed that FISA, Andy, is now reading this information and seeing that how biased and that's what it was relied on, that they would be taking the action you described.
If I was a FISA judge and I had listened and heard information to get a FISA warrant based on the Steele dossier, and that had not been disclosed to me, who Steele was, who paid him, what his motives were, that he hated Trump, that he didn't want to see Trump elected, that information that should have been disclosed to me, I would be furious right now, and I would be looking for some United States attorney to bring an action for contempt, and certainly would expect the defense, if anybody was indicted or charged, to move to suppress the information that was obtained by the warrant.
Yeah, I feel like obviously John Solomon at The Hill, Catherine Herridge on Fox News, and others are covering this, but it really comes down to groups like us to make sure that members of Congress, especially where Republicans still maintain control in the Senate, Republicans still have a voice in the House, strong voices like Jim Jordan's and Mark Meadows, that they don't let this information go by the wayside, that they do something with it as well anytime they've got an opportunity to question these individuals.
Yeah, you know, I have a concern, Jordan, on both sides of the aisle that elected politicians are going to spend more time focusing on their next election than on getting to the bottom of this. And that's really why groups like ours play such a central role in sort of forcing them to pay attention. I do think that Chairman Graham's going to take another look at this. I think that Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows in the House are going to do everything they can to stay on it, although obviously they don't have nearly the authority they used to. But Jordan, I would just make one other comment. I mean, you talked about the gravity of the IRS and the FBI and the impact that they can have on your life. I want listeners to be mindful of the fact that you combine that with the fact that these are unelected bureaucrats. They're not directly accountable to the American people. So where I differ a little bit from the caller we just had, if you're frustrated with the chaos in Congress, you can go to the ballot box and remove the officials that you're frustrated with. You as a voter, you cannot remove Peter Strzok. You cannot remove James Comey. Sure, you can vote for a president who can eventually replace them. But Jordan, when you couple those two things, the gravity of their charge and the fact that they're an unelected bureaucrat, that's where it gets really, really dangerous.
Right now, the message is to a present and future presidents are, if you do replace them, if you do remove them, wait to see what's coming from that bureaucracy. They will leak information to get special counsels, as Jim Comey said he did intentionally. He leaked information on his conversations with the presidents or transcripts of what he says he talked about with the president to get a special counsel appointed. I mean, let's pull that sound. So we now know that even when you elect strong officials like the president of the United States right now, President Trump, willing to get rid of these officials, they come back and they will work with their allies to take you down. Literally take you down, like take you out of office, put people in jail, because you had the audacity to get rid of bad actors in the federal government that no one liked. And by the way, even though everybody may agree before an election that no one likes them, once it can become a partisan issue, guess what? All that unity around firing Jim Comey suddenly disappeared. Now, could Hillary Clinton have gotten away with it a lot easier? Yes. Why? Look at the federal bureaucracy. Look where their political donations go. That's all you have to do. I think it's 98% of donors who work for the federal government who donate to political campaigns, somewhere in the 90-plus percentile donate to Democrats. So they were Hillary Clinton donors. So they're not going to come after her for getting rid of one person. But and certainly they had kid gloves with her, even though they kind of botched it towards the end on her behalf. So again, here is Jim Comey saying, why do you leak? So when you even have strong leaders ready to get rid of these people, because Congress can't fire them, we can't fire them, it's the executive that can, this is what they do to you by 25.
So I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter. Didn't do it myself for a variety of reasons, but I asked him to because I thought that might prompt the appointment of a special counsel.
And that, Andy, to get a special counsel appointed is to sully the president, whether or not nothing even comes from it, from the president of the United States. It distracts. It makes governing tougher. It gives the other side a talking point on every issue, every single issue they use it on, and until it's over and they last, you know, years.
And it has. It has shadowed and dogged this president since the beginning of his presidency. It has been a shadow and a blight over him for almost going on 2 years in May. So Comey got what he wanted. You know, he leaked the memo. He got Rod Rosenstein, without even consulting the president. Rosenstein appoints a special counsel. I'm not commenting on the contents, or rather on the integrity of the special counsel, but he appoints a special counsel, and what has he done? He has put a shadow and an aura of doubt and question over the ability of this president to govern for the past almost now 2 years. So he got what he wanted.
All right, folks, we come back. Remember, final segment, we'll take even more of your phone calls. Couple lines are open right now, so give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. What would it take for you? I think Bill Barr is going to go a long way in restoring credibility, but it will not be immediate. Like even if he's got best of intentions, best people to do it, I mean, it's a project that I think that, you know, President Trump would need to be reelected for someone like Bill Barr to be able to complete a restoration of something like the Department of Justice and the FBI. What do you believe it will take? And is your feelings, like other callers, gone even further? That it's the entire federal government's operation that you no longer trust. What needs to be done for your confidence to be restored? Obviously, we need to figure out how to open the federal government. That's part one. But that will be over at some point. I think the bigger picture here, as we're already seeing all these candidates declare who are running against Donald Trump for 2020, and we're getting into that season. 1-800-684-3110. It's our final segment. Give us a call right now.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. You know what we're talking about. The DOJ, including Bruce Orr, actually warned top DOJ and FBI officials months before the general election in November of 2016 that the dossier he was passing along from Christopher Steele was biased, that it was paid for by the Clinton campaign, that Christopher Steele himself expressed extreme bias against President Trump, did not want to see him get elected, and said, you know, by the way, my wife works there as well for Fusion GPS, so put out all this information out. And guess what? It still gets used as a basis for a FISA warrant on an American citizen months later, which, by the way, the Democrats said nothing with it, came up about this. No one knew anything about this until after the FISA warrant was issued, until after the election. Well, you're wrong, Adam Schiff. What are you going to say about this? I'm sure you'll try to ignore it as House Intelligence Committee Chair. The truth is the Democrats have been who knew about this, by the way, before we did, because they knew what was in this briefing by Bruce Orr. So they knew that the information they were putting out has been incorrect. But in this segment, we take your phone calls, and we're talking about the idea of how do you get back to restoring a credibility and confidence in any of these institutions of the federal government. Let's go right to the phones, and we'll start with people who've been holding on the longest. Steve in Alabama on line 6. And Steve, thank you for holding on. If you stay on the line, we'll get you one of our books as well, signed by our chief counsel, Jay Sekulow. Thanks, Steve.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hey, real quick, because I know there's other callers waiting. For me, accountability, that's what it's going to take to restore the confidence. And the question that I have is, with the FISA court judges, what recourse do they have for being lied to? I think because of the sensitivity of that particular court, the punishment, at least in my mind, should be a lot higher than mere contempt.
Well, you know, a FISA court judge has only so many powers, and one of them is to fine somebody or hold them in contempt. And then if the information in a subsequent proceeding is that was gained through this illegal warrant is sought to be used, it can be suppressed. But that's really all a judge can do if you violate his order. He can lock you up and hold you in contempt, or he can fine you. But those are the kinds of things that if I was a FISA judge and I heard about this dossier and it was not disclosed to me when I got a warrant, that's what I'd be looking at right now.
All right. So again, I think that is very important, is what did the judges know at the time? We know in the court filings so far, and from people like John Solomon at the Hill, that it was not clear from what's come out of anything from the FISA court. It was not told how directly biased this information was, and how really it should have been excluded altogether. It was political opposition research that could have been completely just made up, again, by Christopher Steele, because he was, in Bruce Orr's own words, had such a extreme distaste for President Trump and did not want to see him get elected. Back to the phones we go, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Dave in Indiana online, too. I think it's a good one for Than as well. Dave, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Hey, the purpose of my call was this, is that I've heard that the Republicans are doing a pretty good job of filling the federal benches, but there's still well over 40 federal judges that have not been that's still vacated. And my question to you is that why? What is the process? Why does it take so long? Because if we're going to restore confidence, in my opinion, we have to have a unshakable judicial system. We're going to get these bad apples in the bureaucracies that's going to be hard to get rid of. But I can tell you, I'm a small business owner, have been for 32 years. And during the Obama administration, I was audited, and we've always kept our books pristine. And during that audit, the agent said, you've been audited because of some contributions we made to politically conservative areas, because they could see no other reason why we would have ever been audited.
Yeah, well, we know this was happening, Dave, and we had those cases. The IRS, I think, now is not going to take actions like that, and they're much more concerned about taking actions like that because of what happened to Lois Lerner and her deputies. At the same time, you always have to be concerned and watch for the federal government. Now, this is this bureaucracy within that is doing the bidding of the left, even under the Trump presidency, I think. And so, again, I think the IRS has been pretty well got reformed, but I would always keep a close eye on them because not everybody is gone. Than, I want to go to you on the judicial nomination side of the question as well. There are always going to be vacancies because judges go, and especially when you talk about if you're including district, circuit, not just Supreme Court, the nine justices there. This White House has done a good job putting nominations forward. Now, they're about to have to renominate a lot of people who did not get confirmed through the last Senate. But Senate Republicans are in the majority. They should be, once the shutdown is over, they should be able to get this going pretty quickly again.
Yeah, so a couple of things here, Jordan. First of all, there were a record number of judges confirmed to the federal bench in the last session, more than 80. And I'll get to why it should have been more than 100 in just a minute, Jordan. Part of the reason it took so long and they had to devote more floor time is Senate Democrats insisted on having a cloture vote and essentially filibustering every single nominee that came to the floor. And Senate Republicans were unwilling to change the rules. So you had to burn a bunch of floor time to get those judges done. Still, they got a very high number. Now, Jordan, I will say this, and this is a very harsh criticism I have for outgoing Republican Senator Jeff Flake. There would have been a large number of judges confirmed at the end of session with Republican and Democrat consent, but Jeff Flake blocked it. So something that could have been done in the closing days of the Senate, one Republican senator, not an opposition senator, one Republican senator stood in the way of probably another two dozen federal judges being confirmed to the bench.
So again, I think that that's going to that is something that can be resolved still with the Republican majority of the Senate. You don't have to worry about the House Democrats, and with Lindsey Graham now as the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, getting some new life into that position as well, and energy into that position. I think that that's going to be something. Again, I think we hit record numbers again potentially this year because the nominees are ready to go. They'll be renominated, and that process will move forward. Let's try to take these last couple of calls. Paul in California on line one. Paul, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you. Before my question, as far as confidence and accountability, I think the best thing in these last 2 years is it has exploited quite a bit of high elected officials in our government. So we always must think positive out of the bag. My question is 2 years of our taxpayers' money, millions and millions of people.
Yeah.
Where did that come out? Where would that be coming from? And do we just sweep that under the rug?
You're talking about the investigation, $25 million so far spent by the special counsel's team. It's a lot of money, especially for what will amount to a report.
A report that's going to be sent to the Attorney General, and we don't know whether it's going to ever be made public, whether it should be made public, what parts of it will be made public, what the consequences of it are going to be. We have no idea. All we have is an investigative probe that has run amok for 2 years without any, that I can see, any decent supervision, any focus, just wide-ranging, and I sympathize with the caller. Millions and millions of dollars
to get
misspent.
Convictions on false testimony.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the lowest you get. And then financial crimes unrelated to it. So spending lots of money on, again, crimes that normal Department of Justice officials could have prosecuted if they decided to, like in the Manafort situation. But again, this is where we're at right now. Jim, if you're very quick, we can get you on the air. Jim, very quick in Reno, Nevada. We only have 30 seconds before the show's finished.
Yeah, just real briefly, to restore the confidence would be, you know, hold these men accountable that have broken these, violated these FISA laws. And I realize it's hard to do when you've got a corrupt FISA court, apparently Obama appointee. So that's all.
Well, I think, again, it's these attorneys that put forward the information. The judges would have to do something about it, too. I mean, the judges would need to do something. Congress ultimately could reform FISA as well. So Congress has a role. The judiciary has a role. So two other branches of government have a role in fighting back at what this executive branch actions were under the Obama administration.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.